This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. There are plus or minus a million rent-stabilized apartments in New York City. Those rents don't stabilize themselves, of course. That task falls to the New York City Rent Guidelines Board, a politically appointed group that has just raised rents by the lowest amount. That is the smallest increase ever. The reasonably new mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, has promised to build 200,000 affordable housing units in the next 10 years in that city, both of which reflect growing strain on renters, not just in New York, but across the country, especially in the big cities and especially among the poor. Marketplace's Bree Benishore has that story.
February was in some ways a very good month for Gerardo Odigi. He'd been in a drawn-out custody battle. It had been messy, but it had finally ended, and most importantly, he was reunited with his kids. But there were just a few logistics to work out.
5 keys, one-bedroom apartment. I put the guests on the bedroom, then I let the boys sleep on the living room, then I sleep on the floor. So everybody's coming down to sleep with daddy on the floor. Nobody wants to sleep on the bed.
Since his kids arrived, Odigi has been looking for a 2- or 3-bedroom place in his area of Brooklyn.
They usually ask for about $2,000. You know, I cannot even afford that right now.
And actually, he can't afford his current apartment now either. The rent is a little over $1,000 a month, half of his annual income. He quit one of his jobs and cut his hours at the other so he could be with his kids, take them to school, therapy, the doctors. And now he's 4 months behind on rent. He's in housing court, on the verge of getting evicted. His kids are going to go live at his church for a while.
My 11 years old just told me, Daddy, why are we keeping on moving? He said, we're tired. You know, I'm doing my best to take care of my children.
People like Odigi, people on the edge, show up at Judith Goldner's office all the time. She's an attorney with the Legal Aid Society, and she says there have been more and more such people over the past 5 years.
We see all the time people having to make really terrible choices between, do they feed their kids? Do they buy medicine for their kids? Do they buy clothes? Or do they pay the rent? The rents just keep on creeping higher and higher.
And in some cases, landlords have tried to push lower-income renters out.
Sometimes we see landlords who cut off services, take people to housing court even if they don't owe any money, telling people that they don't have the right immigration status and so they have to leave or they'll call INS. You know, all kinds of bullying.
It is not simply that rents are creeping higher and higher. It is that renter incomes have fallen since the recession.
Renter households are just being squeezed more.
Max Wessel-Couch directs the Mullis Institute for Affordable Housing Policy at NYU. Last year was the first year more than half of all households in New York City were rent burdened, meaning they pay more than a third of their income in rent. The numbers are worse in LA and Philadelphia.
The largest increases in the share of households that are rent burdened actually happening at the moderate and middle income level.
The forces behind all of this are, it turns out, fairly simple: supply and demand.
There's been very little new production of housing. And even though new housing construction has begun to rebound in 2012 and 2013, it's still at lower levels than we've seen since at least 1960.
During the recession, people made less money. People built fewer places to live. But after the recession, people are still here. In fact, there are more of them, and they still need places to live. Many are moving to big cities, 200,000 to New York City alone in the last 3 years, adding even more pressure.
This is kind of just a classic economic problem.
It's not like cities haven't tried to address the problem. Many cities offer developers incentives to build temporarily affordable units, though many of these agreements are expiring now. Then there's rent stabilization. For 34% of rental units in New York, a politically appointed board determines how much rents can rise each year. Several cities do this. Many landlords do not like it.
To try and micromanage the increases each year is ludicrous.
Frank Ricci is with the Rent Stabilization Association. He represents residential building owners who, he says, suffer when they can't raise rents by as much as they'd like.
When you own a building, there are big expenses that pop up from time to time. Could be the roof, could be the boiler, you don't know what it is. But when big things break, they cost a lot of money. there's just numerous distortions within the whole system of rent regulation.
His opponents point out that landlord incomes have been rising faster than operating expenses for nearly a decade. Whether the most relevant distortion is the effort to control the rental market or the unhinged supply and demand behind it isn't much matter to people like Gerardo Odigi, who is still desperately trying to find a place to live for his family. In New York, I'm Sabri Benashour for Marketplace.